Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Tim Versalotti, let's talk about some of the changes in Massachusetts government. You mentioned the last time we spoke that Stan Rosenberg was now going to be the new president of the Senate. Does that make a difference of the Massachusetts Senate?
I think it does. One significant difference is that Stan Rosenberg is openly gay, and he is now charting a path in terms of statewide politics, and it's not a big deal. It's not, at least here in Massachusetts, it's not the first thing people think about when they think about Stan Rosenberg. What is interesting, and he's succeeding Therese Murray, who is retiring from the Senate, is that it gives an important and influential voice to Western Massachusetts. Rosenberg is from Amherst. He had long been thought to be a potential candidate for the United States House of Representatives, but it's clear his path now lies as president of the state Senate and one of the three most powerful elected officials in Massachusetts, the other being the Speaker of the House of Representatives and, of course, the governor.
Historically, and you're a great political scientist, how have the two houses in the Massachusetts legislature gotten along when they're both controlled by the Democrats, which they are?
They have, I guess the best word might be rapprochement. There are different priorities. The casino issue was a real divisive issue in the legislature in recent years, in that Robert DeLeo was really pushing hard for it. Therese Murray needed to be persuaded to get on board. In terms of political ideology, Stan Rosenberg is much more of a progressive Democrat than Robert DeLeo, and so Rosenberg was out there in front in terms of raising the minimum wage. He was out there in front in terms of sick leave for employees, something that the Massachusetts voters approved in the most recent election. So if you were putting them on a continuum, you'd say that Rosenberg is a bit to the left of DeLeo, and they're going to have to work out those differences as they push a legislative agenda, particularly as a counterbalance to a new Republican governor in Charlie Baker.
Now, do they have to be liked by the people, or do they only have to be liked by the people in their house, in their conferences or caucuses, who elect them?
You've got to be liked by the voters, obviously, but they're from very safe legislative seats. And there were a number of state legislators that ran unopposed this year. It's not a position a lot of people are clamoring for, but you do have to build up support in the caucus. And with Robert DeLeo in particular, there was a criminal trial this year in the terms of corruption in the probation department. DeLeo's name came up not as someone who was going to be charged with a crime, but in a way that hurt his reputation in terms of participation and patronage. There was some discussion in the caucus about someone mounting a challenge to him in terms of the speakership. It never materialized because he's got the votes. He still has the support of his caucus. But anyone in that position always has to be mindful of potential rivals and of keeping your base happy so that you can stay in that position of influence.
Uh-huh. Let's talk a little bit about the congressional races in Massachusetts. I have a question for you, and that is, were there any real surprises here?
There were a number of non-surprises. Six of the nine members of the House of Representatives from Massachusetts ran unopposed this fall.
Uh-huh.
Of the three that had opposition, Nikki Tsongas in the third district, there was only token opposition. She won by 26 points. The real horse race was in the sixth district, which had been represented for years by John Tierney. Tierney was a Democrat. His wife and her family had some legal problems that reflected poorly on Tierney, rightly or wrongly, and he lost in the primary in September to Seth Moulton, an Iraq war veteran, a little bit more of a moderate Democrat. And It was to the benefit of the Democratic Party, because the Republican candidate was Richard Tesei, the former state Senate minority leader, former candidate for lieutenant governor, Charlie Baker's running mate in 2010. Tesei had run for the seat in 2012 and came very close to knocking off Tierney. And the argument was, well, Tesei has a real shot at the seat in a midterm election when Republicans tend to draw more voters than Democrats. And so we saw some national money go into that race, but in the end, Moulton prevailed, and fairly significantly. He won by almost 14 percentage points. The other seat that was somewhat up in the air was in District 9 out on the Cape. William Keating was finishing his second term. He drew Republican opposition, and that district includes a lot of communities that go for Republicans in statewide races. There was some question as to whether Keating would have a horse race on his hands, and he really didn't. He won by 10 points.
So wait a second. So Massachusetts is blue, 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 right?
That's right.
And we have a Republican, I say we because I live there, we have a Republican governor.
Yeah, it's shades of blue, though, from navy blue to pale blue, Robin's Egg blue, I'd say. And the nation doesn't get that about Massachusetts. And this was when the national press were writing about the race between Charlie Baker and Martha Coakley and saying what a disaster Coakley was, what a terrible race she was running. The reality is 53% of voters in Massachusetts are not aligned with a political party.
Yeah, yeah. And, well, you know, I've often wondered about that because I'm an unenrolled voter, meaning that I can take a primary ballot, either of these things. But I do tend to lean towards the Democrats. And
So
when we say so many people are independent in Massachusetts, I think that's only because the voting system allows you to take a ballot in either party in the primaries.
What we see, though, in polling, when we ask people not what party they're registered with, but do they think of themselves as Democrat, Republican, or independent, those numbers track the voter registration statistics pretty carefully.
Interesting.
A little lower, but about 48% of voters on average say, oh, I'm independent.
Well, if you ask somebody, are you independent? Of course they're going to say I'm independent. I mean,
well,
you know.
A third of people don't. They say they're Democrats.
Because their mothers told them that they were Democrats.
But what we find is that they're up for grabs. Yeah. And that Massachusetts as a state, while there are elements of the state that are very progressive. Again, think about this vote on this ballot question that guaranteed sick leave. That reflected a very progressive view,
sure,
but also a lunch bucket view as well, because there were lots of conservative Democrats, working class Democrats who identify with that, and so that bridged the gap. So my point is that it's the Democratic Party is not a monolith in Massachusetts, and there are many shades of.
But don't you think it's also, we only have a minute, that my thesis is, you know, that the Democrats look at the Democratic Party and say, don't take us for granted. You know, just don't take us voters for granted, and because we'll every once in a while just remind you that we're in charge.
That's true. That's true. And there's a broad public perception that the Democrats on Beacon Hill need a counterbalance. They need a counterweight in order for there to be good government. And that's not going to happen in the legislature because of the way the districts are drawn. And hence, that's why Massachusetts, from time to time, will elect a Republican governor to balance the Democrats on Beacon Hill.
Well, I love talking to you, Tim Versalotti, director of the Western New England University poll and professor of political science and a brilliant, decent man, if there ever was one. So thank you so much. When we come back the next time, I'm going to ask you about Scott Brown, Ed Markey, and all like that. Okay.
Okay.